Yam Vikarayam Suvan Vrittim Chakapotim Suhitra Sayaya Purat.
Ladies.
Durmana Bhagavan Kavya Parahityam Vigarhayam Suvan Vrittim Chakapotim Suhitra Sayaya Purat. Durmana Bhagavan Kavya Paurohityam Vigarhayam Suvan Vrittim Chakapotim Dohitra Sayaya Purat.
Word meanings: Dormana, being very unhappy. Bhagavan, the most powerful. Kavya, Shukracharya. Parohityam, the business of priesthood. Vigarhayan, condemning. Stuvan, praising. Vrittim, the profession. Cha, and. Kapotim, of collecting grains from the field. Duhitra, with his daughter. Saha, he, Shukracharya. Yaya, went. Purat, from his own residence. Ramadan Mohan Prabhu will give the class.
Translation, the text 25. As Sukracharya listened to what had happened to Devayani, his mind was very much aggrieved. Condemning the profession of priesthood and praising the profession of anchavritti, collecting grains from the field, he left home with his daughter, Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When a Brahmin adopts the profession of kapota, or pigeon, he lives by collecting grains from the field. This is called anchavritti. A Brahmin who takes to this anchavritti profession is called first class because he depends completely on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not beg from anyone. Although the profession of begging is allowed for a Brahmin or a sannyas, one does better if he can avoid such a profession and completely depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for maintenance. Shukracharya was certainly very sorry that because of his daughter's complaint, he had to go to his disciple to beg some mercy, which he was obliged to do because he had accepted the profession of a priesthood. In his heart, Shukracharya did not like this profession, but since he had accepted it, he was obliged to go unwillingly to his disciple and settle the grievance submitted by his daughter. Om Agyana Tamibandhaja Janatana Salakaya Chaksus Madhikanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jayatam Sarito Pangur, Amamanda, Matirgati, Matsar Vatsa, Patambojo, Radha, Madhu. Interesting, in the Sanskrit Bhagavan, Sukracharya is called Bhagavan, most powerful. And here he's in a somewhat of a compromised situation. So when I thought of this, I thought that he knew what was the best thing to do. And sometimes I used to call it that we get framed by this material nature. Things that we don't want to happen, happen. And what's the term nowadays that they say is deal with it. However, we're in such a unique situation here that I have a couple points that I'd like to bring up that give some clarity on how, as devotees, we also have this situation that we've been given this transcendental knowledge, this supreme wisdom, yet we're still having a function in this world to some degree, more or less, depending on different circumstances. And we're also a lot of times in quandary. Well, how do you do this situation properly? So I'm going to expand on that point a little bit. I'm starting off with the purport to Bhagavad Gita 9:30, where Prabhupada deals with this. He says, while still in the world of duality, we have two types of activities. One is called constitutional, and the other is called conditional. So he separates it right there so you can see you are having two kinds of activities that you have to deal with. You have to do with, I'll read what he said more about that. When a living entity is conditioned, he has two kinds of activities. One is conditional, and the other is constitutional. As for protecting the body or abiding by the rules of society, state, certainly there are different activities, even for devotees, in connection with conditional life. And such activities are called conditional. We have to deal with them. Besides these, the living entity, who is fully conscious of his spiritual nature, and is engaged in Krishna consciousness or devotional service of the Lord, has activities which are called transcendental. Such activities are performed in his constitutional position, and they are technically called devotional service. Now, in the conditioned state, sometimes devotional service and conditional life relating to the body will parallel one another. But again, sometimes these activities become opposed. So in this particular situation here, we're seeing Sukracharya is in one of these situations. It's opposed because he's a greatly learned person. Certainly nobody would question that. And at the same time, now he has this situation because of his daughter. He's obliged because he has a profession, and the profession of a priest to the king, he has a certain duty and a certain obligation, and it's a little complicated because he's employed by the king. We know that other prime ministers or priests, sometimes they won't take a salary, and they won't take anything from the king. We have the example of Chanaka Pandit, who, because of a Brahmin, one of his foremost regulating principles is truthfulness, one of the legs also of Dharma. So this truthfulness, it'll produce almost a mystic vision because param sattvam dhimahi. This truthfulness doesn't just mean that he's moral. The truthfulness means that he's situated in Krishna consciousness, remembering the absolute truth. First verse of the Bhagavatam says that just to meditate on this truth, and it says even the demigods are put into illusion by this material nature. So when we're in this world, just like it says in the Sri Upanishad, text 11, only for one who has understood this process of this material world and the process of the spiritual world side by side, he can transcend the influence of this material world which is specifically birth and death. This material world is a package. You get a package of the senses, sense objects, mind, intelligence. And when one is in that concept, it's called samsara. And he tries to find some enjoyment. Besides this material world, which we now have knowledge, transcendental knowledge coming through the succession, perfect aparishaya, not man-made knowledge being given to us of the transcendental reality, how the soul is eternal, sat, chit, ananda, in contact with Krishna, sat, chit, ananda, and that's his constitutional position. So he sees both of these things, and he understands now, since he's taken this profession, and he has to go there, he has to defend his daughter, it's going to be something that goes against his grain. So in a similar way, as we're understanding these two things, the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side, that's actually a light in the sense that it gives you the ability to discriminate what is the material nature, asat, what is the spiritual nature, sat, how this material nature works, achit, how the spiritual world works, chit, and what is the production of this material energy is nirananda. No happiness, no satisfaction. Good sales team, promotional marketing by the material energy, but no one ever gets the taste of a cool drink from a mirage. It's just not there. There's no ras, no taste there. Krishna says he is the taste of. So one associates with Krishna. I asked Yamaraj, he was studying the Sri Shapanishad. So I said, what do you think that means the full blessings of immortality is? And he got it right. I always ask people questions. And he got it right away. He says, you're always associating with Krishna. Just see how wonderful that is. So this is our choice, is how to always be associating with Krishna. And Krishna, I was just reading and hearing it on a couple different places, that famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita, 15:15, for me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. And Krishna was, Prabhupada was pointing out that Krishna was saying, well, he says, the remembrance, that's for the devotees. And the forgetfulness, that's for the demons. So he gives you that forgetfulness. So we're in this position, so when we remember Krishna, maybe something happened first before you're actually remembering Krishna. Because we're going from being a demon, for myself anyway, Prabhupada one time looked around the room in 1972 in Los Angeles, and during his lecture, and his eyes were kind of partially closed sometimes, and they got real wide, and he says, more or less, we are all demons. And he looked right at me when he said demons. I don't know if it was just a coincidence or not, but you know how you feel those things. So anyway, that etched into my memory there, that transcendental look. But Lord Chaitanya came not by himself but with Lord Nityananda, and he said, Lord Nityananda, one has to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda to understand Lord Chaitanya, and then when he understands Lord Chaitanya, then he can understand Radha and Krishna. So of course Lord Nityananda, he embellishes, he takes whatever Krishna is doing, whatever Lord Chaitanya is doing, and carries it out even more. So he made this available to, as glorification of Prabhupada, Patita Pavana, like that. So anyway, back to these two things of learning sat and asat. This has to be Understood. And then how do you change from one to the other? There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita Srila Prabhupada used to quote quite often in the 18th chapter near the end. Those are some hints, and I was going to ask if anybody wants to volunteer an answer. I'll give it about 15 seconds if a hand goes up. 18th chapter, near the end, how one goes from a demon to a devotee. Quoted it a lot. Mohini, is that your hand up? Oh, you're just holding up. Okay. Nobody. All right. 1866, for those who know the number. Surrender. He says, give up all of your occupational duties and just surrender. So Sukracharya, he knows this about how to surrender. But right now, he's still surrendering to his daughter. And there's a lot of different things going on here, how we have this. But Prabhupada's pointing out here that the surrender, he has an element of surrender that he's praising in the translation, where he talks about in the word for word, it says purohityam, the business of priesthood. And then he's saying he'd rather be fully surrendered and just collect grains from the field. So he's also making this distinction between the job he's got, even though it's a priest, situations come up where he's desiring, just like we desire, everybody has their different prayers, we desire when I can just be completely a surrendered soul, when I'm just completely depending on Krishna, whatever Krishna comes, that's fine with me, that's perfect, that'll give me the opportunity to recognize Krishna's hand in my life, feel his presence at every moment, and reciprocate through that surrender. So this surrender, this is the active ingredient in Krishna consciousness that enables one to feel the excitement of Krishna consciousness. It's actually very exciting and thrilling. And if one isn't feeling that, it has to do with his degree of surrender. Surrender is a continual process. It's not something that you do generally one time, even though you may cross the threshold of doing it. It's maintained by continually doing it. And there's different six things, favorable and unfavorable, the mercy, dependence, not having no separate interests, and recognizing how, if you have those five in order, then of course the six is always feel oneself meek and humble, because it's all at 15-15 when Krishna comes, this knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. And it's a razor's edge. So I had some different points, just like I was making up those two columns of the Satchitananda and Asat Achit and Nirananda, of how this material world works, because if one gets that he can use as a light in every circumstance. And we can see that he's also using that and asking, or actually Prabhupada's pointing out how he particularly asked one about that, when he could do that. So I have so also in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, 8-12, the process of knowledge. And of course, knowledge means, if it's functioning, you add surrender to knowledge, or you apply the knowledge and you can have surrender. But if you have the knowledge, in one sense, but you don't activate it by surrender, then it turns into illusion. That's in the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, called the Maya Aparijnana, that it says the result of his knowledge is stolen by illusion. So if one applies a surrender of understanding what is the material nature, what is the spiritual nature, and he can see the two, the next element that automatically there, you're right on the edge, Krishna's bringing you to that point, you add that surrender. So it's mentioning some of the impetus for that. Yeah, here it is. This is also in the Bhagavad Gita. It says, one should be thoroughly understood that birth is distressful. Anyway, I just watched this granddaughter here, and she's so peaceful when she's sleeping. And as soon as she wakes up, she starts grunting and groaning, and I think, oh, back to this plane of existence, you know. But I took care of my mother. I asked, how are you feeling today? And she says, I'm alive. And I says, how can you be sure? She says, because it hurts. So, of course, as you get older, that's this plane of existence. Anyway, it should be thoroughly understood that birth is distressful. Because we forget how much distress we have suffered within the womb of the mother, we do not take any solution to the repetition of birth and death. Similarly, at the time of death, there's all kinds of suffering. And they're also mentioned in the authoritative scriptures. That should be discussed. That should be. You ever try discussing that, the pain of death? Only with a devotee do you have somewhat of a chance. I tried this with my father-in-law one time. It was his 90th birthday. Everybody, we all went out a place. And he was becoming frustrated because my daughter had just spent at least my wife just spent at least a half an hour with the waiter to make sure what's in this, how is this cooked, what is the oil. So he was being so I said, let's, happiest 90th birthday. And he got so mad at me. And everybody, like the whole table, like 10 people, they all looked at me and I was like really in trouble. And I said, what? You know, it's his birthday. It's 90th. Happy birthday. You know, he said, nobody discusses that anymore. You know, so anyway, with devotees, you know, that it's a whole different culture. Devotees have, you know, like we understand how glorious it is to spend your life in Krishna consciousness. And when you die, you're being transferred to a better situation, either directly back to the spiritual world where Krishna's having his pastimes in this material world. Even if you still have some stuff you haven't gotten rid of, we continue to make advancement by hearing. Just coming to Bhagavatam class, we're making advancement. So even if all the anarthas aren't gone, you can get rid of those anarthas when you're with Krishna on the planet where he's having his pastimes. Madhurya Kadambini explains that. So there's a lot of hope for when this body is finished. And a lot of times you get so entangled, it seems like a nice alternative. Anyway, so this should be discussed. And as far as disease and old age are concerned, everyone gets practical experience. Everybody knows that one. No one wants to be diseased, and no one wants to be old. But there is no avoiding these. Unless we have a pessimistic view of material life, considering the distress of birth, death, old age, and disease, there is no impetus for making advancement in spiritual life. That I thought, I put that part in bold for me to recognize that. So the impetus for spiritual life is what everybody else is trying to avoid, even though you can't avoid any one of these. You can avoid old age. Well, my mother used to. I had a lot of times where I would talk with her. And she would say, don't get old. I said, oh, that's Shastric, you know, for nature, you don't get old. And she says, but the alternative for me is not very good. What is the alternative of not getting old? You have to die. But for the prince, he should live forever. For the brahmachari, because of the austerities he performing, he should die right away. The butcher, he shouldn't live and he shouldn't die. Both are horrible. And for the prince, he should live forever because life is good when he's a prince, but when he's usually making a lot of offenses, and when he dies, he won't have that same situation probably for a really long time. So here it says that one should discuss it, he should be aware of it, and just think how different things are if you are in knowledge. And of course, knowledge means how to surrender. If you don't know how to surrender in a particular situation, that means you're in ignorance. And that means you need that knowledge. That particular knowledge, Krishna's giving you an alternative to darkness, asat, achit, nirananda, future life of bondage, and getting knowledge. How do you surrender in this situation? And when you can surrender in every situation, your life is successful. So, okay, how to live now with knowledge until we're fixed in transcendence. This is what we're learning. So that's why we come here. And just like that, I was mentioning that the active ingredient for knowledge to work is surrender. So even if you have knowledge, so to speak, it has to be reconstituted. It has to be applied for it to work. And you apply it by surrender. So it's sambandha abhideya. And if you do, then you come to the prayojana. So, how to live now. So we have, the fan is unplugged. It's understood that by the engaging in devotional service under the instructions of the spiritual master, as we were taught to do, that does not produce karma. He says, if you listen to the instructions of the spiritual master, those instructions do not produce karma. He frees you from your karma by giving you engagements. Those engagements, because a lot of times karma is misunderstood, but generally understood to be activities. So those activities that produce another material body. But when you're freed from your karma, it's because you have an activity that does not produce a material body. It produces spiritual body. And so we have to do that. However, there's impediments along the way, either offenses that we commit, and that's usually because we put too much, we have some attachment to the asat, achit, and nirananda platform. Very nice if you can get it clearly understood, this platform, and see it clearly so it's solid. And see the spiritual one solid, because it's then you'll enjoy. You can associate with Krishna all the time. We're picking not to associate with Krishna. That's all that ignorance is. That's all that non-surrender is not associating with Krishna in our constitutional position. So if we do that, then we can see what it means, why these are attachments. They turn into offenses if you maintain them to a certain point, because those attachments, they act like a cloud to keep the light of Krishna consciousness, of how to surrender the knowledge, that eclipses that knowledge. What is material nature? What is the spiritual nature? And when one gets affection for Krishna, it happens automatically. So this Vaidhi Bhakti is difficult. We have to do it obligatorily under the instructions of the spiritual master. But as one catches up the idea, he starts to have a little bit of attachment, and then it becomes easy. Hearing about Krishna, serving Krishna, those nine processes of pure devotional service, they become easy. But if one doesn't add that element of surrender, because Krishna is in your heart, giving you that knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness, you can't really trick him. So then you can have artificial renunciation, where I want to be renounced, I want to look like a devotee, but I really still want to hold on to these attachments. So how do I come up with like a good compromise? So you may come up with some artificial renunciation. There's another term for that. It's called neophyte, beginner, or prakriti, bhakta, where the material energy is still acting strongly. So here we have, like, for instance, where does Prabhupada help us remember this? For those who are serious, at the best time of day, the Brahma Muhurta, he has us sing this song by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and I was just going to read a little bit of it. It says, just like it says here, it says, one who had, with great care and attention, loudly recites this beautiful prayer to spiritual master during the Brahma Muhurta, obtains direct service to Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan, at the time of death. Anybody interested in that? Did that sound good? I'll read one more time. Direct service to Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan, at the time of death. So a devotee like upset about that, hey, you're like at the airport and a lot of the flights were canceled, and then you see him, the little sign turns over and says, oh, your flight's ready, we're waiting up now for Vrindavan. You know, generally people are happy, they read the prayers by Kora, they're so excited, they're going to go see Krishna. So the first word of those prayers is samsara, dava analita. It says that this, of the material existence by the forest fire, afflicted people are delivered. So it says, spiritual masters receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy. This is so much mercy. We just have to brighten up our consciousness to be able to appreciate it. As soon as you start appreciating it, you can't actually accommodate it exactly in your material mind. What's the jargon? Blows your mind. You actually become, it melts your heart. How much mercy it is that it's over. You've been contacted. You've got your papers. You may still be undergoing some small tribulations, but you're all set up. Here it is. At the time of death, it's over. You're back to Godhead. So it says, that's the ocean. He's receiving that benediction from the ocean of mercy. And just like the cloud pours water on the forest fire to extinguish it, the spiritual master delivers the materially afflicted world by extinguishing this blazing fire of material existence. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master, who's an ocean of auspicious qualities. So those offering of obeisances, they should be consciously done. The main thing that we're working on is consciousness, Krishna consciousness, becoming conscious of everything that we're doing. And when we offer obeisances, take a little bit of extra time. If you don't know what the words mean, learn what the words mean. If you know what the words mean, be conscious of them when you're saying it. And add that one element, the element of surrender. And then, just like in the second verse, you gotta go. I thought you get me. I was going to, but the second verse where he says that this, because devotional service, you can relish it, your hair will stand on edge. And that's not far off. As soon as you understand what's happening, you just have to add that active ingredient. Just like if you have two bottles of medicine, they look identical. In fact, they run tests, and they call one bottle that has the active ingredient removed the placebo. Looks identical, tastes identical, everything's identical, except the active ingredient is removed to see if it'll produce the same effect or a different effect, because you can have a mental concoction. And they want to see if it's scientific or if it's not real. So the same way, if you take the Krishna consciousness, even though you can you're building up all your pious credits, punya, shravanam, kirtan, just by hearing, the active ingredient in this hearing, because this is listed as shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, the nine categories of pure devotional service. So when one hears, there's rules, even though it says there's no hard and fast rules for hearing. That has to do with time. The actual rules are that you have to hear with rapt attention, you have to be sincere, you have to have integrity. All these things will very quickly generate the genuine surrender. So that active ingredient, when you add that consciousness of surrender, and you can see, if you do that, the fear of death is gone. And nirmatsaranam satam, just like Lord, we were just talking about Lord Nityananda, and then it says, one who preaches, he's the most dear. So there's a connection between these two verses, these two ideas too. The one who's the most dear is because he preaches. When you preach, you have to see, or at least theoretically, be addressing the person not as an object of sense gratification, but as an eternal spirit soul, free from designations. You don't see any difference between one person or another person based on their karma. You're immediately free from designations, and that's really a big step, because it says if you can do that near Matsaranam Satam, then the threefold miseries are gone. No more adiatmic, adibodhic, and adidaivic miseries. Miseries of your own mind and body, miseries of other living entities, and miseries by nature. So all these things interact as soon as you add that active ingredient. And just like an time for application, the verse 270, the incessant flow of desires that are entering into the river, that are always entering, just like the rivers are always entering into the ocean. So while we're in conditional life, we're having an incessant flow of desires entering our mind. Everybody. It's just the way it is. But if you have that devotional surrender mood where you want to be a devotee, Nama Om, we're going from Nama Om to Jai Om. We start off with Nama Om, offering our obeisances to these two different categories. Krishna is giving me this knowledge to be able to see the material nature and the spiritual nature. And when you actually do it, you surrender, the boat shrinks, the whole water shrinks down to calf footprint. Then you're at the Jayam, Jayam Vishnupad. You're situated at the lotus feet of Krishna. And you're so dear, we've already explained the preaching, Jayam Vishnupad. Paramahamsa, he's on that stage where he's seeing Krishna. That's all he's seeing. He's just seeing Krishna. Paramahamsa, Parajakacharya, he's taking the position to preach, very dear to Krishna, Parajapachara Astaparasata. He's actually in samadhi. You have a choice of trance by means of your intelligence or spell by means of ignorance of the material energy. So those are also one column, the other column. We have the ignorant, achit, nirananda, satchitananda, other column. So you can keep building more and more things on these as you turn the light up of your surrender to see what this world is. And let's see. So that trance, Astatarasata. So the spiritual master, he's inviting all of us. He says, now I'm the spiritual master, and soon all of you will be the spiritual master. The Ma Om to Jai Om, simply by surrendering to, once you see it, doing it, Sambandha Abhideya. And not artificial, just according to what you've understood. And be conscious of what you're doing. So I'll stop there because it's at the time. Otherwise, I got about another 3 hours. Easy. One. Any questions or comments? Okay. So I took all this out because he had to go to see, he had to defend his daughter. And he was lamenting about that.
Latin surrender. I thought that Sukracharya was a little heavy on Yayati. Because Yayati is a Kshatriya one, and then he's a king also. But he's trying to impose his values on him, really. He says, don't go with any other woman except Devayani. But you know, as a king, he could have like several wives. Right?
And it's even a religious principle.
Yeah.
If a woman comes to you and says that, we know that that's not, that'll come up, that that wasn't against, that was Krishna. That sex life that's not contrary to religious principles is Krishna. So he explains that in one of these purports, it was because of affection for his daughter. So this affection in the bodily conception of life gets everybody into an entangled situation. And as another quote from my mother, Brian, I never noticed it so much. She used to say when she used to work, they would get together with her girlfriends when she would work at lunch, and they would sit there. And she said there was like a soap opera listening every day to everybody's different problems. So she called that soap opera, As Your Stomach Turns. You know, there's a famous soap opera, As the World Turns or something like that. So she says, As Your Stomach Turns. So everybody has this unlimited, it's just what goes on. This whole world is just set up. One makes one bad choice and then he lives with it, like we see in Varna Samskara. That it just really complicates everything. Everybody's peace is destroyed. The parents, the society, the whole thing goes on just by a little bit of indulgence in the moments of weakness, because you didn't surrender to the Krishna's good instructions. So we got a plan B. It just is going to hurt a little longer. But if you can see that this pain is good, it creates impetus. Sometimes I had a nephew once who went into a rehab, and he said, you have to hit the bottom before you can come up. But that's the hard way. Ideally, you can just hear. But there was another question over there. Thank you. The microphone's on its way. 5, 4, 3. Thank you, Chief.
We should talk about dead. And I remember reading in Srimad Bhagavatam about the suffering when we are dying, that I don't remember very well, but we have the like a fever and then the temperature goes down and then, but I'm not sure if I don't remember or I just don't know, that I have the curiosity to know, because is the soul is takes time to leave the body, like, or is in a moment, because in the Western society we do in the funerals, they keep the body in a place, in a room for a day or two, but in the Indian culture we just, how do you say, burn the body,
cremate.
So is the do you know if the soul
It's
has to take a time to leave the body or take immediately?
Well, they create a special time for those things. And time is generally related to the body that you're in. So when you're leaving a body, the time element functions differently. Just like it says that the demigods, they live for 100 years, but their time is different. Or Brahma's time is different, our time is different, the little ant is different. Everybody lives for 100 years, but their time is different. So when one's leaving the body, depending on if the Yamadutas are there, generally I think you were quoting about somebody who didn't apply this knowledge or didn't have the knowledge. Like we have the story of Ajamil in the sixth canto, which was a real eye-opener for Ajamil. He got to see the Yamadutas, which is really scary, to take him away. They have these subtle ropes that they put around your subtle body to drag you out of the body, because you don't want to go, no matter how bad it is, generally you don't want to go. So once you're dragged out, your subtle body's out of the body, that's when they say that he's gone. He's gone now. Who's gone? Looks the same. They say the soul is gone. The soul and the subtle body, until one's liberated, they're connected. So it's excruciating depending on your attachment to your body. For a devotee, it's not like that. That's why it's so important, at least I think so, to have these two columns made up where you can see the material nature and the spiritual nature. And every time you learn something, you'll see it's telling you about these fruitive activities, this bodily conception of life. And then, or you're hearing about the spiritual life. So the things, how to pick the right one, that's the knowledge, that's the surrender. That's the kirtan, that's the japa, that's the sadhana. So in this situation where one is being dragged out of his body, it's extremely painful. Just like they say, do you know how to catch a monkey? Something that you learn in Krishna consciousness. They picture a loda that's tighter at the top than at the bottom. It's bigger at the bottom, small at the top. And they bolt the loda down, and they put a laddu in it. The monkey comes by and he grabs the laddu and makes a fist to hold the laddu. But because he makes his fist, now he can't get it out of the loda. So people are coming after him to get him, to capture him. And what's he have to do to get free? Just let go of the laddu and his hand slips right out and he can leave and not be captured and tortured or whatever they're going to do with him. Make him into a lab experiment. But he won't let go of the laddu, so he's caught. So in this material world, things that aren't related to Krishna, surrender, all it means is add Krishna, put Krishna back in his rightful position, put you in your rightful position into reality. That's all. It's just waking up to reality. Jivjago, Jivjago, Gora Chandrabode. And let go of those things that aren't centered on Krishna. And we're all going through that. That's what our lives are about right now. Krishna deals with us gently, very gingerly or delicately, and lets us see what it is. Sometimes if we go off, he may give us a little,
wake up.
Especially if you're having a bad dream, somebody really wakes you up. If you ever seen a little kid sometimes, they're having a bad dream and they're making all these faces, so you come by and just wake them up. So sometimes this world can be pretty horrific at times. And Krishna's doing, through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and this time like that, trying to wake us up so we don't have to experience it. We can just get the information from hearing that it's very painful. And generally, there is the tendency that of being a ghost where one wants to hover around because of an extreme attachment. He wants to hover around either his old body or something like that. So in the Vedic culture, they burn the body, so it makes it easier. There's like nothing left there, right? Some ash, so you just generally to leave. It's a subtle thing. Your attachment, what you give your heart to, is so special. Krishna says, you should give it to him and he'll take care of you. But if you give your heart to anything else that doesn't have Krishna in it, he really can't. You're asking him to leave. So Krishna accommodates, you know, out of love, he accommodates that. And he says, I'll become invisible then. You won't see me. I'll still be there because you need me to do everything. But you won't see me unless you associate with the devotees. Then you'll start seeing me so many different ways. We see by the affection that we generate. So is that okay? Any other questions or comments? Oh, another question. Thank you for letting me keep you so late.
Just a little similar to that question. Like a little cat like we have here, he's been here for so long. Let's say at the time of death, since he's been hearing so much about the mantras and all these lectures and everything and prasadam, can he jump a few, you know?
There's no doubt about that. And we have many stories also. When it comes to devotees, there's nothing ordinary about any of this stuff we're doing. How much prasadam that cat's eaten? It's probably solid prasadam. I watched him earlier. He was stalking a bird, but he never goes after it. So we have this nature, just like the cobra who became a disciple of Narada Muni. He says, sometimes they hit me, what should I do? He said, just raise up your head, you know, and that usually is enough. So the same way we have our nature, he may look at the bird, but he's full of prasadam. He comes to class, he listens to japa all the time. You know, he stays outside, he knows his place. He's actually a very humble cat. So we don't know who it is. Prabhupada could see different personalities, but it's enough for us to see through the scriptures that by providential arrangement, these, just like when it said the sages, they're always talking about Krishna, and there was a deer that was hanging out. Do you think the sages knew who the deer was when it was the, in his previous life, he was the emperor of the whole world, that they named the world after him, as Bharat Svara. He's the deer who's hanging out when they're saying, oh, this deer always comes by when we're chanting. Who knew that this was the previously, just what, a couple of years ago, he was the emperor of the whole world. He was the most advanced. He was so many wonderful things. So the idea that Lord Chaitanya says, offer all respects to others. Don't minimize anybody, because you never know who that person is. You never know. And throughout the Vedic literature, there's so many different stories. When a guest comes, you should think that he's Narayan. There's so many things. So if you can learn that, and of course we heard it from Lakshmana Sringa the other day, respect is to see. Respect means to see. So you see twice. So the second one is you see Krishna there. You see that this person is very special. And the more you offer respects to everyone, the more you're clearing all your offenses and the weeds in your heart. And the next one after that, that's the Sikshastaka third one, Janata Pisane Chenal. Then the next one is, all I want is pure devotional service, Najanam Najanam Masundari. I'm finished. I don't want anything else here. I just want pure devotional service. Then the next one, he says, O son of Maharaj Nanda. So something took place between 4 and 5 where Krishna is now, instead of, O my Lord, it's, O son of Maharaj Nanda. So hurry up. That there's a term, hurry up, is called loyam, or lala samayi. Increase your eagerness to hear. Increase, just like for Krishna, give him one more minute. That's how Maya also works. She'll say, give me one more minute today where you're not going to think about Krishna. Here's a good reason. But we can bring the light of knowledge, of seeing how to surrender in this situation, into that situation, light it up. And then, there's a nice word I always like to think of, udipan. Udipan, I think it's udipan. I don't know exactly what to say. But then, you'll see Krishna, according to your vision changes. It's called Premanjana. Aglarisha Shilabhava. Deepabhava.